Hello, I'm Gay, and I'm your host, Geraldo Rivera. You're tuned in to episode 96 of Geraldo's Edge Game, the premier Edge and Coomcast podcast, Comcast. It's Gay. It's always been. I'm scared. I think I'm going to die today. And that's okay. And I just, I don't know how else to put it. I don't know how else to say it. But I just have a feeling. Really, I believe I will. I can't get into too much detail, but I'm going to document my death and hope you enjoy or learn something. Maybe you can apply it to your own death or your own life, if you have one. If you're living one. And yes, I've been getting lots of questions. Yes, I did get the Buc-ee's sponsorship. So thank you, Buc-ee's, for being an official sponsor of the show. Per my contract, I must wear Buc-ee's every day for the rest of my life. The contract is only for a year, but it's kind of like the Taco Bell, or was it Subway? Whichever stupid food chain was like, hey, we'll give you $15,000 in fast food gift card and fast food credit if you get a tattoo of Subway's gay new promotion. Now, that's obviously not permanent. You know, you can get that removed, but it's implied permanence, which is what's important, is that you accept an implied permanence, permanent branding. You know, just short of literally branding you like with a hot piece of metal, with a hot rod. I don't know anything about branding. I just know they do it to animals. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't know. I would hope that they stopped branding animals, but maybe they don't care. I mean, if you're going to kill them, I don't know if you brand the animals you're going to kill or the ones you're going to keep. I don't know what's worth branding these days. I thought maybe they just use tags. I thought tags was maybe the... I'm a farm boy, but I don't know anything about like the logistics of actually like running like a... at least like a large corporate... I don't know. They always show like branding in media as like a... like cow branding is like something like a small-time... like a local farmer does, and I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's just an old school thing that's perpetuated. I don't know. The only other brandings I've seen are like, you know, drunk dudes at like a frat party, which I think is fun to watch. But yeah, I don't really know. I like the idea of it's permanently, it's legally permanent, not physically, and that I must, per my contract, wear Buc-ee's every day, which some would argue is worse. Some would argue is worse than a tattoo. Because the tattoo you can hide. And the Buc-ee's you can take off. But you won't. Maybe I should get a Buc-ee's tat. The Buc-ee's apparel is not awful. Okay? They have a lot of options. Some would say Buc-ee's is like the Disney of Texas. It's not quite the Disney world or Disneyland. Let me clarify. It's like the Disney store of Texas. It represents a lot of things without being they're just short of having like a Buc-ee's park. If they opened a Buc-ee's amusement park in Texas, which they may be in talks of doing, I don't actually know. I think it would be very successful. Because what do they have? Do they have a Six Flags probably? Or like some other corporate amusement park? I don't know. But I think a Buc-ee's themed park would do really well. Looking at how popular a Buc-ee's is, you know. Now, I wouldn't say the same about like Sheetz or Wawa. I wouldn't say the same about other major gas station food mart, like, I don't know, combinations. Because Buc-ee's is on another level. Buc-ee's incorporates the additional gift shop aspect of a Cracker Barrel. See, that Sheetz and Wawa lack. Okay, both Sheetz and Wawa lack the gift shop. Some of them are larger and have like, you know, little things. They have, you know, hats or shirts or something. But a lot of what they sell at a Buc-ee's is not, it's not Buc-ee's related. It's not Buc-ee's branded. It's a country store. You know, you get whatever you need, you know. I've only been to Buc-ee's once, but from what I remember, from what I recall, okay, it incorporates many, they're attacking on a lot of fronts. Okay. First and foremost, gas. Okay. It's a gas station. It's a huge gas station too. They have made to order food. Sometimes it's already pre-made. It's like ready to go. It's like, you know, a cafeteria. It's cafeteria style. It's warmed up in a thing. But sometimes you can order one fresh to be made for you. I don't know how fresh the ingredients are, but just freshly prepared, we should say. Those are huge, okay? And those are what sell in Sheetz and Wawa, which dominate the Northeast and some of the South, I guess, which is like Virginia, West Virginia. And yeah, if you've ever been to a Cracker Barrel, okay, if you've ever been to a Cracker Barrel, you'll know that when you go in and when you leave, you have to walk through a really kitschy, like barn country, like all wood country shop, an old, I don't know. I've never been to an actual real like old country shop. So I'm not trying to like critique like how authentic it is. Cause I have really no idea, but it's supposed to mimic an old country store of sorts. I guess it does. I don't know. Just they sell toys and trinkets and candies, you know, all sorts of candies. And I guess those are hard to find, you know, a country store of that style. But no one likes to go to a Cracker Barrel for that. But I've been to a Cracker Barrel many, many, many more times than I've ever been to a Buc-ee's. I wouldn't say more than a Sheetz or a Wawa, but definitely one of my mother's favorite chain restaurants. And I'm not quite sure why. I'm not actually sure why my parents liked Cracker Barrel so much. I think just because you could, I think it was because you could shop and browse. You would browse for things and you would play, and they would always have that game that calls you a fucking idiot when you, it's like you put the pegs in the triangle and you have to like get it down to just like one peg. You can look it up if you want. I forget. It's just like the peg game or the triangle game or something. And if you, you know, if you don't get them all to one, it calls you a fucking retard, which I think is the funniest. It doesn't say retard. It just says, it calls you an ignoramus or an ignoramus, I believe. But they spell it a funny way, I think. From what I remember. And it's, I think that was just the old-timey way of calling you a retard in the nice way. Actually, I think it's more, I feel like it's more harsh than calling someone a retard. If someone called me an ignoramus, I'd be like, I'm gonna kill myself. you must be right. I must be pretty stupid. Yeah, and so you'd play that game, and they always had a, you can look it up. Look up a Cracker Barrel. They have oversized checkerboards, and if you go, actually, if you see a Cracker Barrel, like most of the time they have about 30 rock, like big wooden rocking chairs sitting outside that you're supposed to sit in and you know, feel like a, I don't know, like a dumb cool idiot, just chilling on the porch. It's for porch monkeys. But believe it or not, I've never seen a black person at a Cracker Barrel. I've never seen, of all the times I've been, I think we were the only Asian people ever in there. Me and my mom, I can't remember or recall ever seeing, It's an interesting spot. I highly recommend going. I don't, not anymore. The last time I went was like a year ago. It's been over a year ago. I went to one in like somewhere middle California, somewhere between like LA and the Bay, between LA and San Francisco. Because we were on the way to San Francisco, and we thought it would be funny to go to Cracker Barrel, because the person I was with had never been, for good reason. For me, it was a funny bit, and it was pretty much what I remembered, and a lot sadder. It was much sadder though. So you see, they have a formula. They have something, but their food sucks, and there's not quite as much attention to the, I think, the quality of the merchandise anymore. It's less fun for kids, and now it's more fun for like women who shop at the the Christmas tree shop, or like whatever the Christmas like themed store is that's like open all the time. It's kind of for them. It's not quite like a Home Goods or like a TJ Maxx MILF. It's like a different kind. It's really GILF. It's straight up GILF core at this point. It's like NIMBY. It's like NIMBY GILF core at Cracker Barrel. And it's hard to keep up, 'cause those people aren't, I don't think they're eating out as much. I don't think they're eating out. At least not at Cracker Barrel. I think they have a lot of other options, like Chick-fil-A, which is still, it's universal, but like I think they've swept up the GILF core demo, despite not having like racist like lawn ornaments, you know, for sale. The food overcomes. And now back to Buc-ee's. That's where they've really perfected this formula, because they're not they're not bad at any of the things that they've incorporated. And I'll say that even some of them are good. Okay. They're not even like a jack of all trades, master of none. They've certainly mastered a few things. Now, I didn't try the brisket. I didn't try their barbecue. I'm sure it's fine. I think barbecue is probably just fine in general in Texas, right? Barbecue's fine in the South. No matter where you go, it's like, eh, they're not going to fuck it up too bad. I can't imagine. And so I think Buc-ee's is probably fine in that regard and probably even better because you don't wait, 4 hours for brisket. Like you go to like a cool barbecue brisket place in like Austin or like Houston or something. Probably not Houston, but you wait. San Antonio, you'll wait, stand in line for an hour for fucking brisket. No, just go to Buc-ee's. It's ready. It's wrapped up in a piece of foil. And it's just mush. It's just mush in a bag. And that'll do you right. Okay? It's good. It's fine. It's good as good as it needs to be, right? For a meat sandwich. It's as good as a meat sandwich needs to be. The bathrooms are awesome. They have huge bathrooms. They're like trucker bathrooms. I don't know if the one I went to was just like the flagship Buc-ee's or what, because it wasn't even, it was in, where was it? Alabama? I think the Buc-ee's I went to was in Bama. And I don't know. It was nice. It must have been the talk of that area, that town. I don't think it was near like the city. It wasn't near Birmingham. I don't remember. I don't really remember anything. I don't even care. But I just want to assume that all Buc-ee's are of this caliber. But there had to have been at least 20. I would even say. No, it was like, okay, I'll stick with 20. 20 stalls, okay? If you've ever been to a nice truck stop, okay, a nice truck stop restroom, they have full, like, brick or, like, concrete, like, thick brick or concrete walls that are finished. They're not just like raw material. They put some kind of tile on it too to make it look nice. And so there's at least like a solid, probably even more, probably like a solid like 8 inches to a foot separating you from the guy sitting next to you. And there was no, you know, there were no vents on the bottom. It's just the vent from the door in the front, in front. So you can see your feet. I don't even know if there was that. No, there definitely was. But it was ultimate privacy. And the toilets are really nice. It's just a really nice place to shit, which is what I did. That's why actually I stopped there, was to shit. Because I heard so much about it. I only knew about Buc-ee's because I listened to a lot of Tisa Korean for the last like 3-4 years. And he is from Texas and I follow him on things. I don't like to follow a lot of artists cause they're like, I don't know, because they're artists, but he's also, he's pretty entertaining. Of the few people I do follow, he's one of the more entertaining on a regular basis. But he'll wear like Buc-ee's apparel and, he shoots a lot of dance videos in like gas station parking lots. And I think that's just part of the culture, but Buc-ee's is occasionally featured. And I need to know more because I just thought Sheetz and Wawa were the best gas station chains in the world, you know. I had to open my eyes. And so we, I didn't dance in the parking lot. This was not a very ethnic Buc-ee's there in Bama. And so I just took a nice shit. There were 20 of these nice stalls to take a nice shit in. Okay, in addition to the urinals. This was the men's, and in the men's room. This blew my mind. That's what blew my mind. 20 stalls. Okay. I think that's it. The only downside is you're surrounded by fat retards, but that's just kind of like, it just comes with the territory. I don't think that's unique to Buc-ee's. I don't think that's unique to, you know, anywhere in the South. That's just kind of universal expectation. It's just that it will feel like it's a concentration. It's definitely a heavy concentration of a fat retard at the Buc-ee's, which it kind of adds to it. You know, if they weren't all fat, if it wasn't a bunch of fat people milling about in this huge gas station, I don't think I would eat there. You know, I wouldn't trust the food, and I didn't eat there actually, but I still think about it and I regret it. I regret it all the time, but I was overwhelmed. The problem is that I was hungry. I wanted the brisket. I wanted to sacrifice whatever. I wanted to break 3 years of pescatarianism for the Buc-ee's brisket. But I was overwhelmed. There were so many. It was so many people, because I went on a Sunday afternoon. So this was after church, probably. This was after Mass. This was after 11 a.m. Mass. And so, yeah. And so I'll just say it was fine, you know. It was probably fine. It was probably good. I'm moving to Texas. I'm going to move to Texas. I'm tired of New Orleans. It is not for me, okay? I somehow thought that, you know, especially for someone who doesn't drink, I thought this would be a fun place to be because everyone else would be too drunk so that I could just, you know, it's not, I just don't feel too out of place. And that's still true to some degree. Like, this is still the nicest place to party sober. But I don't know if they're just too like stupid here. I don't really get, it's not that I expected people to be like, you know, brilliant. You know, I know education and the infrastructure and resources and whatever, you know, all negatively affect general like intelligence and common sense and all sorts of things, but I feel like people here are just a little too stupid, and that sucks. And I don't really talk to too many people, and I don't know if it's because I just assume they're too stupid. It's not that I can't talk to stupid people, it's just like I don't know what, you know, you just, it's just like whatever. It's like talking to my dad. Like, what? Like, I can't have a conversation with people about like sports, about baseball, or about here. It's like you talk about the Pelicans or the Saints or whatever. Not right now, you know, the season's over, but sports is a big divide, you know. I've been isolated in what I can discuss, and a lot of people here discuss sports and alcohol, or just getting fucked up, and I wish I could. I really do, and I wonder sometimes if like I will reach a point where I am able to just like unknowingly get really like into the sports, just for the sake of like, I think self-preservation, or just like for the sake of like bonding with, you know, having like a lowest common denominator, like, you know, mutual interest with, you know, with my gender, with like, with, you know, with the guys. It's the only thing I can, like, I don't connect with guys on a lot of things. The things that I connect with other guys with are like music, and that's kind of, it's kind of gay. And I use mutual music interest to fuck women, not to have bros, you know. I don't develop bros from going to the same shows. I don't go to the same shows with dudes. Although when you go to the shows that I like, it is mostly dudes. It is the music I like is for incels, right? I listen to a lot of incel music. I pay for a lot of incel music. And so I wonder sometimes if, I sometimes wonder too if a lot of people who have been into sports their whole lives are just like never fully acknowledge that it's just a form of, like, it is a form of bonding. It is a form of like blending in, and a way to connect with a lot of people on a very like basic level. You know, regardless of what like team you like, it's just like, I like this sport. Like, I like watching sport, and it's a mutual understanding of like, oh, your team sucks and like my team rocks. And that's really fun. Like, I think that's really, I'm not like, I'm not shitting on sports by any means. I understand the long running like cultural implications of like, of professional whatever, who gives a fuck. But I don't mean to, I'm just jealous. I'm just bitter that I can't enjoy watching sports the same way a lot of other people seem to or claim to. I wish. That's, it seems like an awesome thing to be into. Like, it seems like a fun, like, easy, like, straightforward, like, hobby is to like watch and follow professional sports. But yeah, I'm hoping that'll happen for me. I don't know what'll change, but I think eventually I'll just cave. I think I'll just cave and succumb to that. I think I'll also probably eventually just cave and marry like a really boring vanilla like white girl, like a, not even trad wife, just like, she won't be trad, she'll just be boring. Like, she's not gonna cook, she's not gonna clean, she's just gonna be nice, and she's gonna suck at most things. Like, she's just gonna be bad at a lot of things. And we won't have conversations about anything meaningful, but she'll be nice, okay, and she'll let me talk like this at her, and she'll just be nice, and she'll just be like, that's interesting, you know. She'll find it interesting, she just won't, she'll just kind of always chalk it up to like, wow, you're so smart, or like, wow, you're, you know, wow, that's an interest, that's weird. I think that's probably the more desirable reaction is, oh, that's kind of weird, but whatever, you know, not you're smart. No, I don't want someone who thinks I'm smart, because then that would mean, I think that would mean they're like really retarded. The people who think I'm smart are like really stupid. But that's who I'm expecting to find. So I'm gonna get into sports. I'll find that bitch, which isn't too hard. I'll just, it's a matter of just not like overthinking it, you know. Because like I've come across those people, I've dated those people, and I'm like, I don't want to like bring it down, you know? Like, there's, like, it's not for me to, I'm still too critical, you know? I'm still too, like, somehow above it, you know? But, and I'm like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, there's probably someone who's just as, like, dumb and retarded as you. Like, go, you'll find them, like, soon, you know? You'll find them easily. Like, don't let me, I don't want to distract you from finding that, either until I'm that person or I stop judging people so hard. I don't know which will come first. I don't know. I mean, it could be both. They're not mutually exclusive. Maybe that's natural progression. All right. Well, I'm going to do, I'm going to drink some tea, and that'll just be the rest of the episode. Okay. Thanks. Bye, Buc-ee's. Good luck and good night. Go shit in the Buc-ee's. Don't even buy the food. Actually, do this. Go to the Buc-ee's. They have a bunch of, like, pre-made sandwiches, like, that you can just take and then, like, bring to the register. Take one of those and then walk into the bathroom, okay? And while you're taking a shit, eat a brisket sandwich, a sandwich, and then eat your shit. Or take the shit and then wrap it in the brisket wrapper and then put it back into the put it back into the warmer and just be like, oh, I didn't want it. I lost my appetite on the mile walk between the brisket counter and the register. I lost my appetite. I saw too many fat retards and said, actually, I don't need this. And then put your shit-filled wrapper in that box. And just wait. Wait and see who buys it. Okay? And hopefully they don't take it to the bathroom and try to do the same thing. Hopefully they're a law-abiding citizen and they take it and they buy it. And you can follow them out of the store. And you can watch them unwrap it and not even look at it and just take a bite. And then you can upload it to YouTube for 5 million views and you'll make $10. Anyway. Also, I got banned from YouTube again. I forgot to mention. It doesn't matter. No one gives a fuck. It's gay ASMR. I was banned. And now I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm still trying to do YouTube. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I was committed when I made my website. I was committed to not being a slave to being at the whim of someone banning me again. At least not after putting too much time and effort into. I got to a point with the gay ASMR channel. I was like, oh, I'm not like shit posting as much anymore. Like it's a shit posting, but it's not. I'm putting too much effort into this for this to be like just a shit post. And so I found myself actually slightly upset by the banning, only because it was sudden and I don't understand. I'm pretty sure it was because it was the one video where I don't say anything. Actually, I'm just saying ASMR and like gibberish, and but it was meant to critique YouTube's like over like abundance of like sexual like pornographic content. You know, it's like ASMR like mic pumping. Literally, this is a real one, and it's like a girl with like she has two black Blue Yeti ASMR mics positioned suspiciously at these angles, and she's pumping them. Literally, like the title says, mic pumping, and she's stroking them. She's giving them hand jays. Two black ASMR mics. She's stroking them with her titties out. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Okay, I'm not saying that's. I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with YouTube's seemingly arbitrary enforcement, which it's not unique to YouTube. It's not unique to any platform. But that's what the video was basically mocking, was how much sexy ASMR was very overtly, you know, like trying to, it, like dudes were over, like definitely just jerking off to it. Which again, I don't have a problem with on its own. It's just that I was mocking that and I got banned because I included those videos in the background of my video, and they said I was promoting sexual content. I was promoting, I was publishing, you know, explicit content, but I wasn't. I was critiquing it. I was reacting to it. I was mad. I was upset by it. And I didn't say anything about it, really, truly. Just pointing out that it's there, you know, and that it exists, and they have an issue with that. So yeah, so I got banned again. My new YouTube channel is only in New Orleans. I've had it for a minute. I was using it to just upload like body cam test footage, hoping that I would catch some crazy fight or something walking around New Orleans, but I didn't. But for whatever reason, it has like a couple hundred subscribers, and that's only because I uploaded a pizza video that's really stupid, that I guess the algorithm really likes because it's so stupid. And so I'm gonna use that user base. I want to use that subscriber base of 3-hour body cam footage videos plus pizza Little Caesars. I'm gonna base my new YouTube fans on that. I'm gonna build up from there. So I don't know what I'm gonna post there, but I guess I can't linger on like old content anymore. That's my problem, is I keep re-uploading old content and having it deleted. And it just frustrates me because it's like, yeah, I can like host it on like my own site, but like it's just for me then. It's just for a place for me to like preserve it, you know, to have a place where no one's ever gonna watch it. I don't know what the goal is, so I feel retarded. I feel really retarded. I feel so stupid. I feel like fucking retarded. I feel stupid. I feel like an idiot. I feel like a gay faggot. I've never felt like a bigger piece of shit in my life than I do today. And that is why I think I'm going to die. I have a feeling that that is the feeling I think you're supposed to have when you're ready to you're ready to die. And so I'm going to do that. Okay.